I'm hoping you got out yesterday to vote. And Michelle and I, we went to our local school, and the school that our kids actually went to, the elementary school, and we walked to the school and we started reminiscing about the years of our kids' education, the years that they were there at this elementary school. And yeah, and you know, nostalgia is a beautiful thing, isn't it? You know, looking back, thinking back of our kids and their growing up years, and we're thinking of how fun it was. And then on our way home, we're walking, and we're walking the route we did. We used to walk when we did the paper route. Anybody here ever done a paper route? Yeah, so here's what happened. We're walking back and we're thinking about it. We're thinking, you know, there are times that when we were doing the paper route, one of our kids who will remain nameless, Katrina, she would be done very quickly on her paper route, and we would say to her, "Wow, you got that done fast." And she says, "Yep, I sure did. Mm-hmm, I did get it done fast." And we're like, "Wow, okay. Well, just recently, I tore down a shed next door to our house. And as I tore down the shed, I looked behind it. Folks, it was like a miracle. All these papers stacked in big bundles, sitting there waiting for us to read. And I'm looking at the date, and I go, I know these papers. I know these dates. Those are the dates we told her to deliver. And here they sit. And you know, I'm so glad we're past that stage. I'm sure glad that she's grown it up and she's now at Bible school and she's doing better. Please pray for us and her as well. But it's good to see our kids grow, isn't it? And we hope they grow out of stages like that. And you know, here's the thing. We hope that as believers, we grow up as well, don't we? That we grow out of these stages. And see, if a kid's not growing physically, there's a problem. If a kid's not growing emotionally and spiritually, there's a problem. If we're not growing physically, there's a problem. But if we're not growing spiritually, there's equally as much a problem. And I want to talk to you about marks of growth here this morning. I want us to jump to 1 John chapter 4. We're actually going to be wrapping up 1 John. There's another chapter. You're going to go home, you're going to read it, and you're going to memorize it, and you're going to learn from it. There's so much good in that chapter. We might come back to it, but we've got a lot of stuff coming up in the future. But I want us to look at 1 John chapter 4, and I want us to talk about what are the marks that should be evident in your life for good spiritual growth. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. I pray that you would help us to grow in a way that honors you. And if there are areas where we are becoming a little bit lackadaisical and we're not growing the way we should be, and Father, where we're not doing the things that you ask us to do, God, help us to change. Help us to understand the importance of developing in a way that honors you. So God, speak to us today through your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, and I want to talk about some of these different marks. The first one I want to talk about is one called testing, or I've called testing. Here's what it says in verse 1. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world." Now, I love babies. Anybody here love babies? If you're married, newly married, I love babies. I love dedicating them, have them. I love them over here, okay? But babies are so sweet. You sit and you look at them and you coo and you awe. And like Pastor Les said last week, you use this language that doesn't make any sense except to you. Oh, go tick, go go, you know, that stuff like that, right? But the thing I love about babies is I love to, once they start getting fussy and they start crying in my arms, which happens every once in a while, I love giving them back to the parents. That's great. I'm looking forward to having grandkids, but I love babies, but there's times where I'd rather give them back to the parents. Here's the thing. Babies are to be treated with love, gentleness, and care. There is nothing worse than when a parent or someone abuses or manipulates or does something to a child or through a child that is destructive or maybe even illegal. I was looking at the news this last week, and Fox News did a report from a place called Des Perez, Missouri. And I got a picture of that up here. What it was there was a couple of women that went into a store down in a mall in this city. And they walked into the Victoria's Secret store with four kids in tow, carrying one, and there's three behind them. And what they did was this. They began to get the kids to distract the cashiers and somehow get their attention off of these two ladies while the two ladies took the purses and they filled them full of products and then ran outside with over $5,000 worth of merchandise. And I thought, man, that is absolutely despicable to use a child in a way that will first of all, train them to be thieves themselves, but use them in a way that is absolutely manipulative and wrong. You know what's just as wrong is when Christians are being manipulated and are being being trained in a way that is wrong in the eyes of God. Listen, here's what it says. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Let me tell you something, folks. There are spirits out there that try to manipulate, spirits out there that try to deceive. There are spirits, there's religious spirits out there. There is deceptive spirits. There are spirits that try to control, that try to accuse, that try to get you into pride, into lust, get you into depression. There's all sorts of things out there, and there are people that are actually the conduit from the enemy of these spirits to discourage. Be aware. Test the spirits. I find it sad that there are false religions out there like Scientology and others that try to get people to think in a way that is completely contrary to what God wants. I think it's even worse when there's pastors that do that. In my research, I read about a pastor in South Africa. Now, I don't quite understand this. A very charismatic guy. He got his people to eat grass. And he said, if you eat grass, you will experience the healing power of God. You will experience more of God. Then what he did is he took, and we do communion. We have the table spread, and we have juice and crackers. So what he did is he took communion, and instead of putting grape juice in there, or some use wine, he put in petrol, so petroleum products, put it into that, and said, if you drink this, God will heal you. He would have people come to the front of the, and this is not happening like years ago, this is recent stuff. He'd have people coming to the front of the altar and they wanted the touch of God. So he took bug repellent or bug killer and sprayed it in their face. Now, why do I tell you that? I tell you because, I mean, that's an extreme. But be aware there are things out there that try to manipulate. And we have to test to see whether it's from God or not. So how do you do that? Glad you asked. Because the Bible is so full of answers. It says here, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Listen, this is your lifeline. The Word of God, if you're not in it, get in it. If you don't have it here this morning, you gotta bring it to church. But this is your lifeline. But here's the thing. You got to know the Jesus of this book. You got to know who he is. Because the cults will say, well, Jesus, yeah, he was a great teacher. He was he did some miracles. He was a great man. Some say, well, you know what? He was some sort of cosmic force that came upon this planet. Or some say he was the Archangel Michael. But they will not. Listen, they will not say that Jesus came as the Son of God, the Almighty, from heaven down to the planet, came as a man in a physical human form, but yet was still fully God, died a physical death, rose again a physical life, and ascended back to heaven. You will not hear that from the cult, but you'll hear it here. And this is where I was hoping for a little bit more of a woo-hoo, hallelujah on that one. See, here's the thing. The world, this is what it says in verse 5. They are of, now he's talking about these false prophets, these false teachers, the deceptive spirits. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. Folks, you know what Paul said in the last days. There will be speakers, teachers that will teach what are itching, what? Ears want to hear. There's going to be people that are going to be out there that are going to try to deceive. We just a couple months ago, we a number of us pastors stood up and we signed what was known as the West Coast Christian Accord. The West Coast Christian Accord is a document that states that this is what the scripture says about salvation. This is what the scripture says about sexuality. This is what the scripture says about the way we should live. And a number of pastors signed this document. Actually, you know what? I bless you folks from Nigeria. I really want to bless you because here's why. This document didn't just go across our province, across our country, but it went across the world. Do you know that the number one country in the world right now that has stood up and said, we stand for this, is Nigeria. Yeah, yeah. Amen, amen, amen. See, here's the thing. We want to stand for truth, but you know what the unfortunate thing was? When we signed this document and we sent it out, there was another group of pastors that wrote another document. And that document said, we are not in agreement with what you have said in the West Coast Christian Accord. We are not in agreement with that phrases of sexuality. And there were 65 pastors that signed that document and sent it to our educational minister. Why is that? Because there are people that have chosen the things of this world, the teachings of this world, rather than the teachings of Christ. Can I beg of you, test the spirits. Test the spirits. Test the spirits. Google can be your friend at some times. When you read about some sort of ministry, go check it out. Check it out. Make sure that we are not led astray, but that we are hearing from God. See, that's the sign of true growth. Secondly, listen, you got it. We need to be testing, but we need to be training. We need to be trained. Here's what it says. First of all, training in loving. He says this, dear friends, let us love one another. I want to stop there for just a minute. Dear friends, let us love one another. If you go back to Mark chapter 12, verse 31, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen, I don't know about you, but some neighbors are not so easy to love. Are you hearing me? So you got the neighbor that is got their music cranked till 3 or 4 in the morning. We had them right across the street. They have moved since. But we've had this, oh man, it's like, can you not get some rest? Or people running down the road. we had a neighbor one time during the winter that him and his brother, they had a dare. So middle of winter, they ran down the road completely without apparel. Completely naked. Those kind of neighbors are a little bit more difficult to love. You may have family members that might be a little bit harder to love. Like my sister. She's not going to be hearing this recording here today. The one that pinned me down and spit in my mouth. But you still got to love them. You hear me? You still got to love them. That's the requirement. We've got to learn to love, and it may take some work. Here's a couple of things you need to understand. Two important truths. First of all, everyone is created in God's image. You got to know this. You got to know this. Everyone, that your neighbor, the person you love, the person you can't stand, they're created in God's image. And we need to love them no matter what, because they're God's kids. Secondly, understand, because of sin, we're all really unlovable. Let's be honest. There are things about you that ain't very pretty. There's things about you that others don't really love. But that's okay, because God loves us anyways. He has chosen us to be his kids anyways. He's called us to be part of his family anyways. And we need to make it a point, because God loves us. Let's love others. Let's love others. Let's train ourselves in these areas. You know what? The greatest way to show if you truly love is love when it's acted upon. See, love is an action word, isn't it? And loving in a way that you are serving others. Who can you serve today? Well, that's a good question. We've got Cedar Gardens this afternoon, so you can come join us. But there may be places where you can serve, and God is calling you to grow in your love, to grow in your living. Secondly, living in a way that honors God. Listen, this is what it says in verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his son, his one and only son, into the world that we might what? We might live through him. It reminds me back of a very familiar portion of scripture found in John 3:16. Does anybody know that verse? Come on, for God, let's see it, let's repeat it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, therefore that whosoever believes in him, it started out strong. It kind of wavered there a little bit. For God so loved the world that he gave that we might have what? Everlasting what? Everlasting. God came that we may have life. Let me let you in on a little secret. That life doesn't start in eternity, it starts now. We should be living that life right now. It's interesting to me how many people are really not living. Seriously, how many people, they're breathing, they're walking, they're eating, they're taking up space, but they're not really living. This week I was at an incredible conference called a Global Leadership Summit. And one of the speakers, by the way, this speaker, one of these Sundays, I'm actually not going to preach. And everybody says hallelujah. And I'm going to show his video because you need to see this. I can't do it justice this morning. But his name is Irwin McManus. Anybody hear of Irwin McManus? He's a pastor down in Southern California. Irwin McManus is a pastor that has been suffering with, like, his story is incredible. One of the things he just got out of is a bout of cancer. But Irwin said something very, very, very incredibly interesting that really made me think. Irwin says that when he started his ministry, God wanted him to go out and minister on the streets of Los Angeles. So he said he got into his little yellow Pinto. Does anybody remember what those cars looked like? The little yellow Pinto. And he drives down one of the most dangerous streets in all of the United States. And he goes right down the middle of the street and he parks his car in the middle of the street of this incredibly crime-infested area. And he says, God, I need to hear from you, like right now. I need a verse from you. I need something from you to let me know that you are listening to me, that you care. And he was hoping for a verse like, my God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. He was hoping that for a verse like, do not fear that, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. He was looking for verses like nothing can separate you from the love of God. He was looking for a verse and nothing came. Nothing. Except one verse. And the verse is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. God, really? You know what that one says, right? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says this, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he says, God, this is not helpful. I am about to go out into the most dangerous place here in Los Angeles, and you tell me for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? And then God showed him, that's the point. See, here's the thing, folks. People don't live because they haven't died. Listen to me. People haven't lived because they haven't died. I'm not talking about a physical death. I'm talking dying to yourself, dying to your wishes, dying to the things that you think is most important, and living for God. Living for the things of God. See, here's the problem. We don't go out in the streets. We don't talk to our neighbors. We don't get involved in whatever type of ministry God wants us to be involved in because we're afraid. You know where fear comes from? From the devil, who is the epitome of death. And God is calling us to live. He is calling us to live, but he's saying to us, look, first of all, you got to die. You got to die to yourself. You got to die to the things that are keeping you bound and live for Christ. And yeah, that's terrifying at times. That's going to mean that you're going to take some crazy risks at times. Boy, would I love to see people take some crazy risks for Jesus. Man, I would love to see people be so on fire for God that they're not afraid to talk to their neighbor and to talk to those that may not be the ones they want to be associating with. Jesus said, actually John says here, you got to live. You got to live. It's interesting. If you jump to a man that I consider a man of great integrity, Daniel chapter 6 gives a really good picture of this guy named Daniel. Daniel was a normal guy, a normal guy that was taken into captivity, and he's here in this Babylonian captivity living amongst his enemies, and his enemies do not like him. They can't stand him. They want him gone. And it says here in Daniel chapter 6, the administrators and the satraps, these are just a fancy name for the guys that don't like him. They said they were trying to find some sort of ground to bring charges against this guy, Daniel. But listen to what it says. But they were unable to do so. They could what? They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Is that you? Is that a picture of you and me? Well, depends on the day. Depends if I'm driving my car or if I'm at home. Depends if I'm at church or if I'm at the workplace. It depends where I'm at. See, here's the thing, folks. God is calling us to live a life that will honor him no matter where we are at. And that is not easy. But see, here's what John says. He says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. See, here's the truth of it, the matter. The truth is you will not always be a Daniel. You will not always be without corruption and you will always not always be unnegligent, if there's such a word. There's going to be times where we're going to live in a way that doesn't honor God. So God says, man, the only way that we can live in a way that honors him is if we live through Christ. And he says, the only way to do that is, you know what, Jesus, I need you to go and I need you to deal with these folks. Don't beat them up, but take their place and be an atoning sacrifice for them. Now you're wondering, what in the world does that word mean, atone? Atonement means to cover, to purge, to make reconciliation, means to bring somebody that's far away back close to you. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He took our punishment for our sins so that we could in fact live that kind of upright, holy life. He did that for you. He wants to live through you. He wants his truth to live in you. But that comes when we allow him to work through us and in us. By the way, can I just kind of go on a side note here for a minute? Anybody here ever heard of the Ark of the Covenant? Yeah. I'm not talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm talking about the actual Ark. I got a picture up here if you want to fire that up here. If you don't know what it is, this is what it looks like, okay? Sort of, what we know of it. It's interesting because this Ark of the Covenant with a case, and it gives it full measurements and everything in Scripture, that had the Ten Commandments in it, that had a few other items in it at different times. But I'm not going to go into all that, but the top of the ark had a cover. Okay, so this was the lid of the ark. The lid of the ark was called the mercy seat. The lid of the ark was, as you see, these two angels kind of sitting there. Basically, what it was a representation of a throne of God where he would come down into the temple and he would sit down in the presence of his people. It's interesting because this mercy seat, another word for it is a seat of atonement. It means a place where God would meet with his people and reconcile, bring him close to himself. A visual representation for the people in the Old Testament that there's coming a day where God wants to sit with you. God wants to sit with you and me. And he wants to have that relationship with you and I, to sit down in our presence. Not because we're so great. You're not. Okay? Hey, I hate to tell you this, but we're not so great. We've all messed up. But because Jesus is great, and he came down and he made a way for us to have this relationship with Almighty God, and he wants to be in our presence. That's the truth, folks, we got to live in. That's the truth we got to celebrate. That's the truth that we got to walk in on a daily basis. Are you learning that truth? Are you walking in that truth? Are you sitting in his presence and enjoying that truth? Marks of growth. If there's testing, there needs to be training, and then there's trusting. Trusting, first of all, in his spirit. Verse 13 of 1 John chapter 4 says this, we know that we live in him, and he is in us because he has given us his spirit. Oh man, I'm so glad. So glad for the Holy Spirit. I tend to try to take shortcuts when I drive. Ask my wife, I sometimes go off the beaten path. I've gotten better. But I used to say, I know a shortcut. And if I said that, Michelle would usually go, oh, dear Jesus, here we go. Because it would probably mean that I'm going to get us pretty lost. I'm thankful for this thing here. Does anybody have one of these things? Does anybody have a cell phone? I love my cell phone. This isn't my cell phone. Actually, mine broke. It's getting fixed right now, but this is a loaner. But I love it because it's got lots of stuff. I can check my email, and I've got a couple on here right now. I can check the weather. Weather's going to be great. I can take pictures of you. There you go. I can play my Sudoku, which I really love. But I love this phone because on it I have my Navi. And I call my Navi my Brunhilde. No offense, Hilda. But I call my Navi my Brunhilde. I love my Brunhilde. And the reason I love my Brunhilde is because she gets me in places where I couldn't figure it out myself. So I put her on and I say, would you please take me to such and such a place? And she talks to me. And when I'm getting close, she says, in 600 meters, make a left. And then she says, in 200 meters, make a left. And she says, hey, you idiot, turn around, you path. No, she doesn't say that. But I love my Navi because at times where I am desperately lost, she gets me out of jams. And you know, if I don't listen to her, I have found myself in traffic jams. One time I'm driving down the highway and she says, get off the highway. And I'm like, are you crazy? I'm trying to head down to Chilliwack. I'm not going to get off the highway. What's the matter with you? I didn't listen to her. There was an accident. Somehow God gave her some incredible magic powers to know there's an accident ahead. And I didn't listen. And I was stuck in this traffic for an extra 15, 20 minutes. Listen, God's given us a Navi, and his name is the Holy Spirit. He wants to navigate your life. He wants to direct you in the right areas of your life. He wants to show you where you need to go and where you got to keep away from. And you got to be listening because he speaks to you just as much as this thing does. He speaks to your soul. And if you're not listening, you're going to get yourself into some trouble. And if you're not hearing from him, maybe you need to stop and consider, have I shut him off? Have I put him to the side? Am I listening to other voices and not listening to him? Am I taking time in his presence? We need to be hearing from the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. Do you trust his guidance? Listen, Acts 1:8. I love this. You know it. But let me just say it one more time. You will receive what? You will receive what? Power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power for what? Power to be able to lift a whole bunch of muscles or heavy weights or whatever. What power? Power to serve the Lord. Power to be a witness in your Jerusalem. That's your Syria, in your Judea. That's your province, in your Samaria. That's whomever you can't stand. God wants to bring you there to the ends of the earth. God wants to give you that power. It's not going to come in you, through you. It's going to come through him. So we need to hear from the Holy Spirit and we need to trust in him. Secondly, we need to trust in his Son. I mean, this should go without saying. Verse 14 says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. You've seen those little round flotation devices, right? The lifesaver things, not the ones you eat, but the big ones that you fire out into the water when somebody's drowning. You know, the thing is, if you're sitting out there in the water and I throw you a flotation device, you got a choice. You do, don't you? Your choice is I can either grab it and be pulled to shore, or you can say, yeah, you know, I got this. I'm okay. I'm done. I'm good. You've got a choice. God threw us, not a device, but God threw us a helping hand through his Son Jesus. He came to this planet and he didn't come just to save us in those extreme situations, but to walk with us day to day to day. And we need to acknowledge, it says here in verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he is in God. God, acknowledgement, it doesn't mean just saying, hey, it's good to see you and going on. Acknowledgement is saying, God, I want you to have this place in my life. God wants to guide us. He wants to fill us. He wants to use us, but you got to be trusting in Christ. Lastly, you got to be trusting in His life, in His love. Verse 16, it says this, "And so we know and rely on the love of God that has been sent to us." We rely, we put full confidence that God loves you no matter what. He loves you no matter what the situation is that you are going through. The word rely here, the word that he uses is to put full confidence in that love. But wait a minute, what about those times, God, where it seems that you're so far from me, it seems like you don't even care. It seems like I'm going through so many troubles and I'm crying out to you and the heavens are resounding like brass. I don't hear anything back from you. I read about a young child that needed a difficult procedure where they had to put in a needle into the bone and pull out a sample. Now, I've never had that happen to me, but I heard it's incredibly painful. They took this child into the hospital, into the room, and they had the parents hold this child down while the child was writhing in agony and screaming in pain. Now, from a child perspective, it's, "Mommy, Daddy, why are you hurting me? Mommy, Daddy, why are you letting this happen? Mommy, Daddy, why don't you save me from this?" Where the truth was, Mommy and Daddy were doing exactly that. The procedure was necessary for healing to occur. Folks, sometimes the procedure is very painful. Sometimes the procedures and life situations are overwhelming, but that doesn't mean that God has removed himself. It actually means he's closer to you than you even could possibly imagine. Amen. And he's there saying, "Hang on, hang on, hang on. You will make this. You will make through. You will make this thing. You will make through this situation. You will see in the end how, as you trust me and you trust in my love, how I will bring you to a greater place in me." John says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment." God is not out to punish us, but he's out to rescue us. There's a, and I end with this, there's a story of a college down in the States. They were going to class was going to put on a play. You would know all about this, Shane. So what they did is they handed out the scripts to the different actors, and they told them to read their scripts and then to come and to practice. So they came and practiced, and it was a disaster. It was a complete disaster, and things weren't flowing, and people were losing cue, and it was a real complete mess. So the producer said, "This is what I'm going to do for you. I want to sit you down, and I want to read you the entire play." And he read out the entire play from beginning to the end. And they go, "Ah, I get it now. I get it now." And things began to work because he understood how it all fit together. God doesn't always read out us out the entire play. But God knows the entire play. He knows what your part is in this production, and he knows how it's going to work out in the end. But our responsibility, folks, is to trust him through it. A measure of growth, and I want you to think about this for yourself. The measure of growth is, what is your trust level like today comparing to last year? Are you growing in your faith? Is God entrusting you with things that may be difficult, but is he entrusting you with new things, and are you coming through for him? Because when you come through for him, he will come through for you. So Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Our desire is to grow in you, to become more mature in you, to become stronger examples of your goodness, of your love to others as we live out our Christian life. God, we want to live it in a way that honors you. But God, we need help in those times where we're faced with these challenges that seem so overwhelming. We need your help during those times, God, where we're not sure if we can take another step. Father, I pray at those times we would just grab onto your hand and say, God, I will take the next step as long as I know you're beside me. And help us to move forward. Help us to carry on. And if there are people here today, Lord, that are at a place where they're saying, man, I can't take one more step. I need that strength. Father, would you meet them where they're at? Would you encourage them? And Lord, as a family, I pray that we would love on them here today.